Trigger warning. The following episode contains references to gore, homophobia, human suffering, mental conditions, death, factual inaccuracies, several entitled people making light of all these things. If any of the aforementioned topics cause you discomfort, you may want to listen to a different episode.
And after you're done with them, throw in these copies of The Watchtower, too.
I'm Andy.
I don't know. The man's already been slow roasted. Can we really justify killing him? I'm Kelly.
And here you see the rare emo volcano that's dyed all of its lava blue. I'm Adam.
If you're looking for good atmosphere in a restaurant, I can't recommend El Diablo. I'm Sean, and this is Acid Pop. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. This week, we're going to be talking about lava.
Baby,
so it's spicy. Time to kiss.
I didn't really want to do an episode on volcanoes. One, because it's kind of been done before, and, you know, they explode and everybody dies, and that's kind of the end of it.
Ta-da!
But I think lava itself can be a little more interesting.
Boring, says Sean. Giant explosions and mass death? Seen it.
Ho-hum.
You know, there's just not much of a story there, because, like, everybody dies, so there's no, like, witness events.
I feel like you've, like, found the rectangle to Volcano Square here.
Yeah, yeah. We'll talk about a couple volcanoes, but mostly talk about lava. So lava goes back to Latin labes, meaning slip or fall.
Okay.
Oh, no!
Yeah. Yeah. Over the centuries, it kind of came to mean a stream, so, like, falling water. So it's like flowing water. Yeah, that's sort of where it comes from.
Still not seeing the connection.
Well,
it flows. Lava flows.
Lava flows. I guess.
Yeah, it falls down from the top of the volcano.
Not as much as I'd say like an actual stream or water or something.
Right, for sure. So magma will probably come up too, which is a Greek word that means thick unguent.
That's a little more on the nose.
Yeah. Sure.
Two C's.
And the fear of lava is lava phobia.
Didn't give me a chance to guess.
Sorry.
Lava phobia.
Not terribly exciting. So lava is what magma is called when it's out of the ground. Sort of like meteors, meteorites, and such. There's three basic types. Mafic, which is 45 to 52% silica. Intermediate, which is 52 to 63%. And felsic, which is 63% or more silica.
Does it behave differently depending on how much silica is in it?
Yes. So luckily, mafic is the most common and the least explosive.
Ooh, explosive.
Yeah. So around 90% of lava is mafic. Intermediate is the next most common and sometimes explodes. And then there's felsic, which is the least common and almost always explodes. So.
And that had the highest silica?
Yeah. So the more silica you have in the mixture, the more likely it is to explode. And I think this is because the silica is kind of hard and it sort of like caps the pressure until it builds up and then it can explode. But if the silica is low, it's a lot more viscous. So it just kind of flows, you know.
Low viscosity, big explosion.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So we're going to move on to our acid pop quiz. So true or false, people have drilled holes too deep and struck a magma vein.
I mean,
unless they're like near a volcano.
Oil drills go real deep.
That's true.
But Sean said we're not talking about volcanoes.
We're talking about lava.
Yeah, like, if I just drilled a hole in my backyard, I'm not going to hit lava.
Are you
sure?
Yeah,
I mean, mostly lava is around volcanoes, so it is inevitable we're going to talk about volcanoes a bit.
Sean said no.
Rectangles and squares, people.
I mean, like I said, unless you're, like, in the right zone, like, it's not going to happen, so I'm going to say no.
Well, this is true.
Okay.
Twice in Iceland and once in Hawaii while trying to dig... Well, they were trying to dig a geothermal vent.
So they were aiming in that direction.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So scientists pulled up their drill and said, what's all this red stuff?
We want lava farts, not the actual lava.
Yeah. And while it seems like this would be the start of a Roland Emmerich film, what actually happens is you just wait a bit for the top layer to turn back into rock.
Look, it's underground again.
Yep. Blow on Hooray. It a bit.
Yeah, basically, just pour a glass of water down there.
Get the marshmallows, Hans.
Dump the water on it. That's the end of the lava.
Yeah. Lava underwater. Didn't work.
You weren't invited.
So true or false, scientists can make lava.
All you do is
rock. Melt rock.
Yeah.
True.
Yep. This is true. So really, magma is just super hot rocks, so we could totally do it. In case you want to try at home, here's the recipe. Take equal parts aluminum, calcium, magnesium, iron, sodium, and potassium. Double the mixture's weight in silica, then heat to 1200 degrees Celsius. Stir Wait. Occasionally.
My oven doesn't go that high.
I didn't know there was like a recipe. I thought it was just hot rocks.
No, it's got to be a specific blend of minerals to really get lava. So if you're worried about getting the mix right, you can do what some scientists do and just grab some rocks from near a volcano and reheat.
I don't like my lava as leftovers.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little, it just tastes a little stale.
Yeah, make sure you take the tinfoil off.
I want homemade lava. None of this store-bought stuff.
Oh, this is heritage lava. Heirloom lava.
So scientists make lava to study how it flows through and around substances to better learn what it will do in real life.
Will it flow around Timmy?
So true or false, we can divert lava.
Yeah.
I don't sure, see why not.
Yeah, this is true.
I've watched Avatar. They just dig a big hole.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not too hard, to be honest.
I watched the volcano with Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah. The first record of this was actually in 1669 when Mount Etna erupted on the island of Sicily. This is one of those Hawaiian-esque slow meandering lava flows. So it was puttering its way towards Catina or Catania. So Diego Papalardo. Yep, that's
Papalimos.
It. Papalardo got some men together who rode up to one of the main veins and basically poked a hole in the side. The lava came out the side and started floating away from Catania. Right towards the nearby town of Paterno.
Yeah, but at least
they
it's not
poked
my
their
town.
Own hole.
Yeah, they can figure it out now.
So when soldiers from Paterno saw what was going on, they rode out and chased off Diego.
Get out of here! Go where you
get out of this lava!
The vein healed up and the lava marched on to Catania, where it took a couple of days to bore through the outer wall, but it did get in. It was winding down by that point and was moving really slow, so it melted a few houses and called it a day.
Walk for your lives.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, once it cools down, like, on the wall, that's going to be a much better wall, right?
It's true.
Oh, yeah, obsidian walls.
Sweet.
Much better house.
Also, the U.S. Army has tried on more than a few occasions to drop bombs on lava to direct it or stop it. So far, it hasn't worked, but they're still pretty sure it could.
But decidedly so American viewpoint.
Yeah.
It hasn't worked yet, but we're not going to stop trying.
Look. The solution is to blow it up, and we're going to keep trying until the solution works. We just need a bigger bomb.
Have we tried giving the lava LSD?
Nukes! Nuke the volcano!
Oh, different problem. Radioactive lava.
Now it's even hotter.
Lava monster.
So on to our fill in the blank. How many people are killed each year by lava / volcano?
Two?
Yeah, not a lot.
Zero. Like, I think the average is zero.
I mean, unless you have, like, a really big event, then the average goes up a little bit.
Well, I guess I was sort of thinking you guys would go high on this one, but it's actually 540.
Wow! Anyway,
that's a lot.
Yeah, it's kind of a lot.
Why? Are these people just... Is it like the Latin said? Is it slippery and they fall in?
Well, I mean, it's mostly volcanoes. It's not, you know, just the gentle lava flows. Like, volcano explodes, drops a rock on your house.
I was going to say a bunch of college bros dicking around near the lava. Yeah.
Playing beer pong over the volcano.
Get to our next question here. How many active volcanoes are there, and how many eruptions are there each year?
I'm now thinking it's much higher than I thought.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm going to say only 78 active volcanoes, and there's 10 eruptions.
I think there's probably more active volcanoes than you think.
Are we talking underwater? Because if we are, then I'm going to say 10,000 volcanoes.
I think there's probably more active ones, like, you know, technically active ones than you think.
If we are talking about underwater volcanoes as well, then that's a lot of volcanoes. I'm just doing above ground volcanoes. I'm excluding the underwater people.
That's bad science, Andy.
Well, there's like all of Hawaii, and then there's Iceland.
That's 1,000 right there.
Exploding.
I'm going to say 200 active volcanoes.
And how many erupt?
It's happening like all the time, I think. Like, what was the question? Like, per year?
Yeah. How many active volcanoes are there, and how many eruptions per year?
1,000 eruptions per year.
From 200 volcanoes, they each erupt 5 times a year?
I mean, there's little eruptions, like little burps.
Yeah, like, beep. Okay.
I'm going to say 500 volcanoes.
With 2 eruptions.
And 250 are.
I scared you guys with that last question. So there's, though, except for Andy, you guys were actually low, is 1,500 volcanoes, active volcanoes.
Ooh, I'm very low.
And about 50 eruptions every year.
So each eruption is accounting for a lot of deaths.
It's true, yep. So next, architects Eduardo Caceres and Jesus Soto have harnessed the power of lava to do what?
Indoor heating.
Oh.
Yeah.
Caliente.
Do not let your kids near the flow.
They are using the lava to make housing stuff.
Like chairs.
That's a chair now.
My lava chair.
They're making blueprints.
Mm. Nope, they're using it to cook food.
Damn it. That's what I wanted to say originally. Andy tricked me with the architect thing.
Well, I had to throw you off the scent somehow. So El Diablo restaurant in Tejuis, Spain, dug a well down to a volcano. Wow. This created a 400 degrees Celsius vent with a giant grill across the top that the chefs used to cook chicken, pork chops, and steak.
That's pretty bitchin'.
Thanks for the steak, Satan.
How these chefs don't die from carbon monoxide poisoning is anyone's guess, but apparently this well is 6 feet deep. I wouldn't be comfortable walking on the ground knowing that boiling lava was 6 feet down.
That's one Andy's worth of ground.
Yeah. So we're on to our terms. What is a bread crust bomb?
Bread crust bomb?
Yep.
So it's that exploding lava, but it's like cooled on the top. So you have like, it sends out the shrapnel of the cooled stuff on top of it.
Adam took exactly what I was going to say. It's the top of a volcano, and it kind of looks like the salt flats of dried lava, but it's that, like somebody tosses one little pebble in there and it breaks through and the exploding lava goes.
Yeah, my guess is kind of similar. Like when a volcano explodes and throws up like that top layer.
The muffin top.
Bomb.
So yeah, you guys were pretty close there. So in volcanic terms, a bomb is a big blob of lava that gets shot into the sky. So it cools as it flies and turns into a spicy rock that ruins the day of anyone that it lands on. So sometimes the center of these are still hot, so they expand after they land, making a crackly surface. Now, that is a bread crust bomb.
Okay.
Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah?
I don't want to be near it.
I don't want to see it in person.
Got a video?
What is a fire fountain?
It's like, again, the cracks where the cooled stuff is, but it's like a tiny crack, so it's like a, looks like a sparkler going off or something.
You got like a hole in your hose.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you go near the lot where the lava is flowing, and then it's like in the Princess Bride where the random fire is shooting out in the swamp.
I'm picturing like that stereotypical picture of a volcano exploding and like there's stuff coming out the top in every direction.
Yep. Actually, Kelly nailed it. So yeah, when a child draws a volcano, these are the red lines shooting out the top.
I have a child's mind.
Yeah. We have a child.
So innocent.
What's Laze? L-A-Z-E.
That's me,
how
baby.
I'm feeling right now.
L-A-Z-E?
Yep.
That is, that's the path of a slow lava is called the Laze.
Mm, I like that. Get out of the Laze.
The what?
You got 15 minutes, but...
That's when a volcano is expected to erupt, but it doesn't.
Okay.
The period of time when it hasn't erupted and it was supposed to, that's the Laze.
I see.
The Laze is where you still have liquid lava, but it's not flowing anywhere. So it's just, that's the Laze.
Sitting there being hot.
Yeah.
So this is a silly name with a terrifying definition. So sometimes when lava hits an ocean, the water boils to steam. When the particular mixture of minerals creates a cloud of hydrochloric acid.
Pardon?
Yep. The expanding steam also atomizes some of the lava, filling this acidic cloud with shards of volcanic glass.
What?
So, some of the caltropiest glass around.
Does this happen every time it hits the ocean or just in special occasions?
I mean, I think it's a certain kind of lava mixture that makes sulfuric acid, but it does happen. And it just basically makes a fog cloud of acid full of glass.
You scary, nature.
Sometimes.
Like, all the stuff I've read about, like, volcanoes and geothermal stuff, like, the scariest stuff is the gas that you can't see.
Yeah.
It's like, you slip into a low spot and you just die because there's no air down there, or you're breathing acid or something.
The vapors.
Air. The real enemy.
Yeah. How do you fight what you cannot see?
We bomb it.
Yeah. So what's tree mold?
Mushrooms?
Yeah. I'm going to say this is when lava overtakes a tree really quickly.
Mm.
And like the husk of the tree is left in there. And when you break open the rock, there's a big mold of a tree.
It's like a hollow chimney where the tree used to be.
Yeah.
I like that.
M-O-U-L-D-E.
Yeah. I like that. We'll go with that.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Hot damn.
Sometimes when lava flows around a tree, it can't be where the tree is, but being surrounded by 1,200-degree rocks isn't good for trees, so they quickly burn away to nothing, and this leaves a tree-shaped hole in the lava.
This kills the tree.
The memory is there, though.
What's an ultraplinian?
Ooh, that is a person who really believes in putting fox shit on all of their wounds. That's a deep pull. I'm here for it.
The Elder. Sean's coming at us with some really tough words. Ultraplinian.
I'm pretty sure that was a villain against Superman.
Yeah, alien.
Pliny did die in the eruption of Pompeii.
Oh, yeah. It's like lava that's 100% silica.
Mm.
I'm telling you, it's a magma-themed supervillain.
Yeah.
The Ultraplinian.
So this is the most explosive class of volcano. Frequent large eruptions shooting bombs hundreds of feet. All the big nasty eruptions are this type. Krakatoa, Mount St. Helens, and the ever-looming eruption of Yellowstone that will surely kill us all.
Ooh.
Let's just drill a bunch of holes.
Is that what Rainier is, the type of volcano it's set up for?
I'm not sure. Probably. I mean, since, you
it's
know,
along
Mount,
the same line.
Yeah. St. Helens was. That's like right next door.
But it's so pretty.
Yeah. And that concludes our acid pop quiz.
That was a tough one.
So first, let's talk about some interesting lava. Oidoño Lengai.
Oingo boingo.
I'm not saying it again. Is a volcano in Tanzania. So let's look at some pictures before we talk about why it's so weird.
Let's just make fun of its looks.
It looks like it's been crying.
Yeah, its mascara is running.
In this image that we're looking at, it's got what looks like snow-spattered mountains with oil coming down from the top. So as I mentioned, lava has a lot of silica in it, with usually 45 to 63% silica, but this lava is only 25% silica.
Hmm.
Extra gooey?
Yeah, well, not
extra
even gooey.
Flowy.
Yeah, extra liquidy. So this lava is mostly carbonatite, which is made up of calcium, sodium, and potassium. So this makes it extra runny. In videos, it looks more like ink than lava.
Huh.
And it's also liquid at much lower temperatures, down to about 500 degrees Celsius, which this makes it easier for people to get close to it.
Cooler by the volcano.
My lava's undercooked.
My lava cake.
It also makes black or dark gray when it comes out, but it dries white. So in the picture, all the white stuff is cooled lava.
And the black stuff is the lava.
Fresher lava?
The volcanologists are very excited about this weird volcano.
We love it, they said.
Then the music started playing. Ba, 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 ba.
No, get out.
Volcanologists.
So next, the Kauai Ijen volcano in Indonesia.
That's such a take cute a picture little volcano.
One, or look at a picture
Kauai
of this
Kauai volcano.
Whoa.
Oh, that's cool.
Ooh, wow, it's purple.
Got purple
and
lava.
Glowy.
Yeah. So as you'll notice immediately, the lava is bluish, purpley, indigo sort of color. So super cool pictures, but a bit of a deception. Pedantic nerds will push their taped up glasses higher on their nose and tell you, actually, the lava itself isn't blue. The gases emitted from the volcano are. The volcano has a ton of sulfur in it, and pockets of superheated sulfur bubble up and combust when they hit the air. And sulfur burns blue, and there's so much of it that it spills across the lava until the whole thing looks blue. And this lava is particularly slow and cool, so it spends most of its time stationary and black, which is why it looks so blue, because it's basically underneath it is the hard, black, actual lava. But
you don't
cool.
want to go over there and breathe because of
no.
the sulfur?
Yeah.
And it smells like farts.
This is the fartlands.
But when it comes to volcanoes in our solar system, the king is Io, a moon of Jupiter. It's about the size of our moon and the closest of Jupiter's four big moons. But being so close, it gets a lot more gravity than other moons. Hmm. And due to some weird physics from gravity of the other moons, its orbit is elliptical. So as a result, it gets squashed when it's close to Jupiter and sort of rounds out when it drifts further away.
It's a little like gravity hug.
Squeezing all the lava out of it.
Yeah. So this stress ball mechanic heats up the core and squeezes out lava all the time. As mentioned, there's about 50 volcanic eruptions every year on Earth. On Io, there's more like 5,000. So these eruptions are bigger and
but
harder.
Zero deaths.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't know that.
And also, Io is smaller. So when it comes to interstellar vacation spots, Io gets one star. Now, in media, volcanoes are depicted as mountains with the top 5% chopped off. Inside is a pit with bubbling lava at the bottom that you can throw your enemies slash virgins into.
That's where you throw Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So this never happens. Except sometimes it does.
Never except that one time.
So this is a little confusing because when a hole at the top of a volcano fills with a bunch of water, that's called a lava lake. That this is not what I want from a lava lake. What I want is a literal searing lake of lava.
Hell on earth.
This does happen. Mostly this kind, they kind of like, they kind of happen when the volcano pups. Like it sort of like blops up and then there's a pool and then it cools and then it hardens and then it does it again. But some persist for years. One of the most constant is Mount Nyiragongo. Since people have been keeping records in 1882, it has erupted at least 34 times. And while not erupting, there's a pool of lava bubbling in the center that can be dozens of feet across. So
that's pretty cool.
Let's take a look at that.
Where can I visit this?
I think this is in the Congo.
Oh, I don't want to go.
Ooh, that's pretty close to
crazy.
The surface.
Yeah. Yep, yep. Now, truth be told, volcanoes aren't a bad place to set up a town. The soil tends to be very fertile, and you get a steep mountain for snow and water. And mostly, they don't blow up. But if I found out my local volcano had a literal pool of lava in it that can rise and fall by thousands of feet depending on its mood, I would move.
I would be throwing shit in there all the time. Old stereo.
But I want to say that something like this might be safer in a way, because like, it's not building up pressure.
Well, you'd be wrong.
You're wrong.
Because in 1977, a large crack appeared in the cup that is Mount Nyiragongo, and all the lava poured out.
Oh. Yay! Hopefully away from town.
Nope. It raced towards a village at the bottom at 37 miles per hour, or 60 kilometers per hour, the fastest recorded lava speed. It only took about 30 minutes for all of the lava to flow out, and in that time, 50 people died from the villages. Of Kibati and Moniki.
Well then.
Now, I don't know how big those villages were at the time, but I guess the people decided this must have been a fluke because Nyiragongo slowly started to fill back up and a nearby town of Goma swelled to a few hundred thousand people.
Gotta live
somewhere,
I guess.
Surely this won't happen again.
Yeah. Then, in 2002, another crack appeared and once again all the lava poured out.
Away from town this time.
Nope.
How do we keep doing this?
So, luckily, seismographs were more of a thing by this point, and scientists suspected that something was up. 400,000 people were evacuated before the 1,000-meter-wide and 2-meter-deep flow hit the town.
Oh, wow.
It smashed through buildings, covered up a good chunk of the airport with lava, and burned everything it touched. In the end, 13% of Goma was covered in lava. 120,000 people lost their homes, and 245 people lost their lives.
Now, are these the people that are like, surely we can evacuate? I don't have to evacuate.
As recently as 2021, the volcano erupted again. This time, 32 people died, though mostly in car accidents trying to evacuate.
You can hardly blame the lava on that.
Though there are periodically carbon monoxide deaths when a steam vent opens unnoticed nearby.
Get you no matter what. You evacuate, you don't evacuate, you breathe.
So let's talk about a crazy story. So May 7th, 1902, in St. Pierre, Ludger Silberis was a rough-and-tumble sort of guy. He liked to drink beer and start fights.
With volcanoes.
Well, He frequently found himself in jail for shenanigans.
On this... I want to see that arresting document.
On this night, though, he got into a bar fight that went a bit too far. Details on the event of this night are sparse for reasons we'll get into, but here's what I gather happened. Someone ended up getting killed in this brawl, and the authorities decided they'd had enough of Ludger. He was thrown into the deepest, darkest cell in their jail until the authorities could decide, or until they could find a judge to sentence him to death.
Thrown into an open volcano.
Now, the idyllic seaside town of St. Pierre basks in the shadow of Mount Pelee. Early the next morning, Mount Pelee blew up sideways on the side where St. Pierre lived.
Oh. These volcanoes God have a malice.
A wall of lava and superheated gas blasted towards St. Pierre, barbecuing literally the entire town of 30,000 people.
Except for one man.
Yep. So buried deep in the dungeon, Ludger was protected from the lava, and the small seaside window brought in fresh air instead of the toxic carbon monoxide. Couldn't stop the heat, though. His cell turned into an air fryer with scalding air blowing in through his cell window. He peed on his shirt and stuffed it in the hole, which was enough to save his life, though not enough to prevent his arms and legs from receiving third-degree burns. A few days later, some people were scouring the wreckage when they heard Ludger screaming for help. He was evacuated from the new catacomb, pardoned because clearly he was not meant to die.
Time served.
And he went on to join the Barnum and Bailey Circus, where he recounted his story, I guess?
Oh, that's good. All he did was pee on shirts and stuff them in a hole.
Come see the old man. Talk about his time in prison.
Want to know how I got these scars?
Terrifying third-degree burns.
Now, while tragic, suicide via jumping into a volcano may be the most badass way to kill oneself. In 2017, some hikers found an abandoned backpack near the rim of Kilauea in Hawaii. Inside, they found a suicide note from Leo Adonis, stating his intention to jump into the volcano. They told the authorities who went looking for Leo's body. Now, most of the time, you can't get close enough to the lava in a volcano without dying of carbon monoxide poisoning or bursting into flames.
I was going to say, where are you even going to look?
Yeah.
I was going to say, let's go look for this body. Oh, let me guess, all burnt up.
Well, that's the thing, is even Leo couldn't get that far.
Ah.
So this was one of those cases. They found his body about 250 feet down inside the rim, but it appears he died from the fall. I tried to find out if they managed to get him out of there, but I couldn't find that out.
I mean, it doesn't seem like it's super possible.
No, not generally. But Leo wasn't the first one to think of this. In fact, it was kind of a cultural phenomenon in Japan in the early 1900s. But we have to go back a bit further. In case you don't know, Japan was, and still kind of is, against any kind of outsiders at many points in its history.
Yeah.
Between 1600 and 1800, the shogun was pretty sick of all these Christians knocking on their doors Sunday mornings. And so they started rounding up Christians and forcing them to renounce Jesus by walking across his face. They had a sort of like collector's plate of Jesus called a fumi'i, and they had the Christians step on it.
Who isn't tired of them knocking on your door?
It said no soliciting outside. I don't understand.
So if they refused, they were trucked up to Mount Unzen and thrown into the hot springs. While technically accurate, hot springs doesn't quite do these pools justice.
Very hot springs.
They were boiling cauldrons of stomach acid. The victims found their skin cauterized to leather, their nerve endings dissolved, and their internal organs forcibly shut down within moments of being thrown in. This carried on through the end of the 1700s and then tapered off with the last recording poaching in 1856. However, this tradition of death by volcano sort of got into the public mind. And there was another volcano called Mount Mahira on the island of Izu Oshima. It had a relatively flat spot at the top with a sort of overhang that allowed people to walk out almost over the center of the volcano. And in the late
1700s... That's just asking for trouble.
Yeah, kind of was. In the late 1700s, people started jumping off this spot into the sulfurous heart of the volcano.
Oof.
Just a few at first, but over the years, more and more people took their lives this way. Apparently, by the early 1900s, a couple of people a week would walk up the mountain and never come back.
It's not good.
In 1933, Kiyoko Matsumoto got herself a girlfriend. But since homosexuality was still considered icky, she decided to toss herself into Mount Mahira rather than live without her love. Her tragic story set volcano suicides to trending, and another 944 people followed her that year alone.
Who trended this?
Put up a fence!
Suicide does tend to be contagious.
Yeah, it does. So by 1936, some 2,000 more people had opted for this fiery way out.
Crazy.
So the government took prompt action. They finally put up a goddamn fence.
There we go.
We put up a sign.
And they made it illegal to buy a one-way ticket to Izu Oshima.
I mean, but that'll, if you're going to kill yourself, you can afford the expense of the return flight.
So amazingly, this worked, and the practice died out over the next few years.
That's good.
Yeah. And that was the last of the stories that I had about lava.
Let's see. When I traveled cross-country as a young lad in a motorhome, we went to it seemed like an active volcano. There was bubbling water that smelled sulfurous and stuff.
Oh, yeah?
I can't remember where it was, but you got to go up to the top where it was just like flat rock.
Hmm. Huh. I'd imagine it was in Colorado. And then
a story from my dad, when he was a young policeman, is we have hot springs just outside of town, and there are hot springs you can go into and hot springs you can't.
And good and bad.
And a bunch of teenagers went out there and jumped into the bad hot springs.
Wow.
And were flash boiled, and they said, let the new guy drag the bodies out. And the first guy, he had like a long hook, and you had to hook the body and bring it in. And then he grabbed him by the arm, and the arm, the flesh
smelled
came
delicious.
Off.
Some sloughing.
It degloved.
Oh. And he fell backwards into the pool.
Falls right off the bone.
Yep. God bless.
Yeah, I mean, I've been through Yellowstone. It's pretty neat. I've seen it at the volcano in Hawaii. It's neat.
Jumped into the Japanese volcano. That was neat.
I don't think I've ever... I mean, besides the Hawaii one, like, you don't get to see, like, lava too much.
No. Yeah, I sort of grew up in Nevada, where they have earthquakes, and then I moved to Ohio, where they have tornadoes, and then I was in Arizona, where they have floods, and now I'm in Washington, where they have volcanoes. And so far, volcanoes is my favorite dangerous thing to live near, because it comes up the least often.
I mean, technically, we're supposed to be at volcano risk here, too, from Mammoth.
Yeah,
technically.
But that's where our earthquakes come from.
But yeah, I mean, I can walk out on my porch and just look at several volcanoes, so definitely in the line of fire up here.
One of the interesting thing about having a young child is the learning to differentiate between what is real and what is fiction. And Autumn, our kid, developed a fascination with lava for a while, mostly because they'd been playing Mario. And we went to the Children's Museum, and there's this part that's sort of like a mountain, and there's a hole that's covered with glass, and you can look down, and it's got red lights underneath it to, you know, simulate lava. And Autumn saw this and quickly backed away.
Well, what happened was she was looking down in it, and you said, oh, yeah, there's lava down there. And she leapt back, and she said, real lava?
Oh, my God.
And it was very cute. But like, why would she know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a perfectly reasonable response.
Holy shit.
Why did you let me stand there, mother?
Papa,
the gases alone could have killed us.
And bone bowsers.
Mm-hmm.
If nobody has any more personal stories, we'll move on to what are your morals worth. So let's say your job can be completely remote, and I'm going to pay you to go live in Goma at the base of Mount Nyiragongo for a year. How much to go live at the base of Mount Nyiragongo?
Enough for a small, fast bike? To weave through the traffic?
A pair of Heelys.
For a year, you said?
Yep.
That wouldn't be too bad.
No.
You mentioned vents opening at random.
Sometimes.
With poison gas.
Uh-huh.
Don't have a basement. That's my first rule.
Yeah, wear a mask.
It seems
to explode roughly every 20 years, and it exploded in 2021. So odds are, you'll be okay.
And it never explodes in the same place twice.
No, it always faces towards town.
Yeah, but they're not building town where the last town was. So if I build my town where it's already exploded, we should be safe.
I mean, I don't know who gave you that idea.
Like, they rebuilt a town.
Yeah, Gama's been hit twice already.
God damn it.
Okay, I want a house on the outskirts of town.
On the volcano side?
No. And I'll take $100,000
to live there.
And a nice fast bike. And bike lessons.
Bike lessons.
Motorcycle lessons.
I'll take $200,000. I think it sounds relatively safe, but I have to move.
Yeah.
You are still in the Congo.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It is inconvenient to move.
I bet I could afford a pretty nice house in the Congo.
Probably, yeah. $200,000.
Some nice mosquito nets.
Yeah.
You go $50,000.
$50,000? Yeah. I'd probably need $150,000. Probably, I'd probably do it. All right. Well, I think that's all we've got for this week. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Lava!
Lava!
Lava. Did you say lover?
Yes.
Lover.
Thanks, Tim Curry.
Are we talking underwater? Because if we are, then I'm going to say 10,000 volcanoes.
I'm thinking
we're going to need to pause things real quick. Oh. Sorry. Cat is wanting to play fetch.
With the lava?
We can't pencil this in for another time, cat?
Bye, cat.
How do you satiate this cat?
Well, you either play fetch with her or you lock her up, which is what Kelly's going to go do.
Oh, the locking up is what we're doing?
Yeah.
Lock her up.
How long of fetch playing does it take usually?
How long you got? I mean, she'll play all day. The problem is, instead of bringing it back, she takes it to the couch and knocks it underneath and then yells at you.
It's all part of the game.
Yep.
It's part of the dance we play.
Look what you made me do!
Just like at the asylum.
Stupid boy.
Sorry about that.